Welcome to Book Recos Between the Pages. I'm Jess.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're the pals behind Book Recos. This is the podcast where we chat all things books and just about everything in between. Having recently enjoyed Sarah Pascoe's latest book, Weirdo, we were inspired to dive into some other more wacky books.
Sometimes people might be put off by weird lot, but we're here for what we're calling weird books, so there are some recos for you today so you can enjoy them too.
Jessica.
Oh, I called you Jessica. You're in trouble.
You actually do that more than most people in my life, I
yeah,
think.
I do.
Yeah. I like it. I've realised, touch wood actually,
yeah,
that when this episode goes out, I'll actually be married.
Can I tell you something? Last night I was watching, have you watched Shrinking on Apple TV?
No, but I know I need to.
It's really good. Final episode, there's a wedding and I just started crying and Alex was like, why are you crying? And I was like, because my best friend's getting married next weekend and it's just all feeling like real. I got so emotional, like just at like the happiness of it. And I'm also like dreaming about your wedding pretty much every night. I can only imagine what it must be like for you.
Oh yeah, I say touch wood because I'm in that phase. Do you remember when we went to Hawaii and in the last week before I was like, Lauren, do not jaywalk. Look four times before crossing the road. Do not eat any questionable chicken because you weren't a vegetarian yet. I'm very much in that phase of I will die before my wedding day, must stay alive, must, like, you know, and like we've got an author booked and I'm like, don't talk about it until it's happened. So I'm a bit conscious that I've said I'll be married because what if I'm not? We're in that phase.
I'll acknowledge that.
I think it's also stemmed by, I think I've already told you this, but for listeners, I follow loads of interior accounts on Instagram, but one of them, this woman was getting married to her husband in Santorini. All of their guests flew out to Santorini. They were all out there. And then I think like two nights before the wedding, he fell off a cliff. Luckily he lived and he's okay now, but obviously the wedding got called off and I was just like, oh my God, imagine that. Like you've flown everybody out there and everyone's so excited. So yeah, I'm really wrapping myself in bubble wrap this week.
Yeah, just don't leave the house.
Yeah. Don't eat any questionable. Just eat like butter and toast.
Another question I had for you, it's not wedding related, however, is have you started Bake Off?
Yes. Oh, yeah. What day is it today? Monday. Mm. I have. We've called our horses like we do each time.
Who are yours? Because I'm so bad at the names.
I couldn't tell you any names. So,
okay, you describe them.
My fiancé chose the one that won. Who won the whole week? Who won Star Baker?
Yes.
And we choose it after the first round signature. So they haven't even done technical showstopper yet. And I chose, I don't know her name. But this is so derogatory, right? But every time we're like, all right, who's the fit one? Who's the young one? Who's the old one? Because they do have these stereotypes.
Yeah, they do.
So I've chosen who we've deemed the fit one. It's basically the lady that was wearing makeup.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's really bad. And I will learn her name when we start to learn the names.
Yeah.
But her cake was, I think they all did dog. No, she did the duck.
Yeah, from Essex, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I again don't know the names, but I think she's the South Asian lady.
So cute.
And she got a hug from Paul Hollywood and I just lost her shit and I was like, I want you to win.
Yeah, she did remind me of last year's winner who I chose because she was just so adorable. Again, I can't remember their names.
It's just so many names to remember though, to be fair.
And we
I'm really liking Alison Hammond.
Yeah, knew we would.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a gem.
She's a good addition to the family.
Yeah, ma'am. Okay, so let's get into it because actually what we should say is this is the last episode of October because we're taking a two-week half term like the private schools.
So Jess can get married and go on her honeymoon.
Yeah, I'm going to be in another time zone. This would just not be possible.
What?
I'm in another time zone. There's absolutely no way that we could make this work.
No. And then we're going to have a full-on debrief about the wedding and the honeymoon.
The mother of all Catch ups. Touch wood. Didn't go ahead.
Okay. So let's give some people some book recos, some weird and wacky book recos.
Yes. And actually, I was just FaceTiming my sister and she was like, oh, what episode are you doing? And I was like, well, we started to have this conversation with each other in real life. And I did my usual of, nope, don't tell anyone. We're going to do it on the pod. Yeah. So basically, Lauren read Weirdo by Sarah Pascoe and I want to read it. So today I am going to put her recommending skills to the test and see if she can reco it to me enough to read it. Maybe not. I don't know. And then it just got me talking because I was currently reading a book that I was like, it's a bit weirder than I thought it would be. And then we went down a rabbit hole of like thinking about weird books. So we paused that conversation so we could have it here.
Yeah. I think that's, I love how the sausage got made, if you will.
I've never heard that phrase before. Is that a legitimate phrase?
Yeah. They also say it in Hamilton. It's in one of the songs in Hamilton as well.
Oh, is it?
It gets me. Yeah.
Do you know, I think that is one of those things where I'm like, surely can't be the lyrics. You know, like...
Probably because you didn't realise it's a saying.
Yeah. You know, an American Boy, when everyone thought it was like, play cricket with you, I was like, can't be that. And thankfully it wasn't. But yeah, I think I must have thought, obviously not about the sausage.
Wow. Okay.
Well, Lauren, would you like to drop the synop of Weirdo?
Yeah. So, deep in Essex and her own thoughts, Sophie had a feeling something was going to happen, and then it did. Chris has entered the pub and re-entered her life, and Sophie had finally stopped thinking about him and regretting what she'd done. Sophie has a chance at creating a new ending and paying off her emotional debts, if not her financial ones. All she has to do is act exactly like a normal, well-adjusted person and not say anything from her inner monologue out loud. If she can suppress her light paranoia, pornographic visualizations, and pathological lying, maybe she'll even end up getting with the guy she wants. Then she could dump her boyfriend, Ian, and try to enjoy Christmas. Yeah. What are your first thoughts before we get into it?
My thoughts are that it sounds pretty juicy. She's with someone. She wants to dump him for someone else. Scandalous.
It's not juicy.
Okay.
I actually think she's way weirder than the plot makes out.
Okay.
I say that with love in whatever way you can. But she's an odd person. And like, if you met her in real life, you'd be like, bloody hell, she's missing a few screws. Can you say that still? Probably not.
I've already called someone the fit one. So I think let's just like have this as like a cancelable episode.
Yeah. She's not this. She's a pathological liar. She's one of those people who...
Okay.
So the whole book is her internal monologue. And so you know when she's lying because she knows when she's lying. And like she'll get told a story. There's one story. Maybe it's like she's read a news article about a woman who was found dead in the bath and all the water had evaporated from the bath and like she'd like... By the time I saw her, it was quite a horrid image. And then she goes out for drinks that night and she tells someone, oh, yeah, my grandmother died in the bath and like all the water evaporated and whatever. So she's a pathological liar because she wants attention and she doesn't really get attention from anywhere.
This is interesting because from the picture on the cover where she's like wrapped up that you recreated so beautifully, I was like, oh, this is obviously a book about someone that maybe like doesn't have many friends, really introvert, likes to stay in. But actually, she's going out and showing off and making up lies to get attention. Like that's completely different.
Yeah, I would say she probably is an introvert, but she goes out a lot. And like she wants to do things. She wants friends, but she can't really make friends because she lies all the time. And she's like just says... She doesn't pick up on social cues at all and reads rooms very wrong. And anyways, it's about her at the beginning of the book. She's in debt to her sister. She borrowed something like $6,000 from her sister to fly to Australia to follow a guy. And then you find out in the book, this guy didn't know she was coming. She was working at the time on a London tour bus and he was one of the other tour guides And she really fancied him, was doing so much to try and get his attention, like wearing her hair in plaits or like reading a book about the history of London on her lunch break, because she was like, oh, you know, he's a tour guide, he must be so passionate about London, I'm going to read a book about London, like tourist shit about London, to like try and get his attention. Obviously doesn't work, because
it's a bit, and like anyway, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the TV show. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
I might have talked about it on this podcast before. I think I might have actually, but it's about a woman who, yeah, packs up her whole life and moves to some bit of California to follow a boy. But and it's an excellent TV show because she keeps breaking into song and all the characters burst into musical numbers, which is a big vibe of mine. Yeah.
Well, it's like that, but without the musicals. But at his leaving drinks, she mentions that her dad lives in Australia, and he's like, well, you know, if you're ever there, like, drop me a message or whatever. And she sort of interprets that as he really wants me to be there, and we're like star-crossed lovers and we're meant to be together, so I've now got to go to Australia. And she like books a flight to Australia next week, doesn't tell her boyfriend, she's got a boyfriend, and then dumps him like the day before, and is like, this isn't working out. And she arrives in Australia and doesn't know where he lives or whatever, and like just tries to bump into him and like casually texts him. So yeah, she's off a rocker. And yeah, it was just, it was an interesting book. Like, I read it so quickly because it was just all internal dialogue. It's like you're just reading one conscious thought, and she's got a very messed up relationship with her sister, and her sister is like, you know, seeking legal action to get money back from her because she hasn't paid it back. And it's like just very dry sense of humor, and so it's very character driven because it's not a huge plot.
Well, I like her as a comedian.
Mm.
And also, she's such a big reader. Like, I think she actually started her own book podcast now. I feel like I've seen that. I can't remember. Don't quote me. And so I was like, oh, like, love that she's writing a fictional book, because obviously yeah, she has one that's nonfiction. And so I kind of like thought it was going to be like a masterpiece just because she likes to read. I don't know why I thought that. and maybe it is. But yeah, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, there was an interview with her at the back of the book.
Ooh.
Where she mentions how much she loves to read and how she actually had to stop reading while she was writing because she was like, I don't want to accidentally just copy someone's book.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the book, there was a message, you know, like a note to reader saying like, everything in this book is fictional. If character, like all the characters are fictional, if they bear any resemblance to you know, whatever, it's just coincidence. And then at the back of the book, she's like an interview, and she's like, Ian is like sort of based off of this guy that I went to uni with. So I was like, oh, so you're just outing yourself that statement at the beginning of the book is a lie then.
Yeah.
So I think it's like she sort of explained how a lot of the book is like pieced together bits of reality and exploring what it's like, what it would be like to have just quite a weird and quirky main character.
It's quite fun to have a main character that lies so boldly, because I'm always absolutely blown away by people that make up blatant lies to your face that like, you know, are lies. I'm like, they must believe them,
yeah,
to do this. So that like those kind of people, they wind me up, but they really interest me. So yeah, I feel like that would be really interesting to read.
Yeah, I worked with a girl like that once.
Yeah, it's pretty exhausting, isn't it?
It's actually the most excruciating.
But then when you just realise they're a liar, it actually becomes quite a fun game, and you're like, go on. No way that's true. Oh, my God.
But she used to lie about work things.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just fucking stupid if you work with people. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think you have sold it to me more than yeah, originally.
We'll just put it out there that I am waiting for people to review this book and then liken the main character to like Eleanor Oliphant.
That makes me die, because the book I'm going to talk about has been referenced.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't think it is at all. Like, the characters are only similar. And also Eleanor Oliphant is much more like as plot driven, whereas this is character more character driven. It's just that they have quirky sides to their personalities and are perhaps maybe on the autistic spectrum to some extent, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome. You're going to hit us with a weird and wacky reco?
I am. And I don't know if it's that weird. It's just weirder than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So the book is She's a Killer by Kirsten McDougall. I'll drop the snob before I go any further. Alice, 30-something, IQ of 159, almost a genius, only communicates with her mother in Morse code. Her imaginary friend is back. Erica, 15, daughter of hot, wealthy G, who loves Russian literature, genuine genius, killer eyeliner, and killer instincts. The climate is in crisis, and wealthy immigrants are flocking to New Zealand for shelter, stealing land, driving up food prices, and taking over. But Alice has far more important things to worry about. Hating her best friend's husband, getting free wine, and quiet quitting her dull day job until she meets Erica. Now, Alice is about to find herself drawn into action of the most radical and dangerous kind. Just what is a slacker to do? Bold and brilliantly bizarre, She's a Killer is the satirical dystopian sci-fi thriller you never knew you needed until now. So that had me hooked. I was like, satirical dystopian sci-fi thriller, right up my street.
Also, doesn't that say cli-fi, like climate thriller? Climate fiction.
Wow, you're so right. I just assumed that I'd like typed that wrong. Yeah.
So climate fiction, which is actually this plot, and cli-fi, didn't know that was a thing, is also, I'm only
I know what you're gonna say.
To the book we're about to reco in our next episode, but we're not going to give anything away, shall we?
Honestly, it's completely the fucking same. When I started reading, I was like, you're absolutely fucking joking. They go to the same part of the world to escape the climate crisis. Wow.
Yeah.
Is this happening in real life and I'm not listening to it?
Like, so I started that book this morning and I was like, oh, yeah, Jess must have told me about this because I've heard of all of this. And now, just hearing you read the plot for She's a Killer, I'm like, no, she didn't. Jess just told me about the plot for She's a Killer.
So whereas this doesn't actually feel that dystopian, like, you heard me say the word wealthy G, and it's like these rich people who are moving to New Zealand. They never really explain what that is. You just read between the lines and figure it out, and that's fine. But that's kind of the only dystopian bit to it. Like, everything else felt like it was normal life, but also not more normal life because it is on the weird side. So this is the one that I said, it's been described as Eleanor Oliphant's meets Killing Eve, which is such a bold claim, right? Because Killing Eve is phenomenal in its field of murderous women, and Eleanor Oliphant is, as we've seen, the thing that people attribute outliers to, I guess. Yeah. I don't know, like, and it has both of those qualities, but it is neither of those things. She's not like Eleanor Oliphant, because I feel like with Eleanor there's this, like, she doesn't even know what she's missing out on. She just doesn't care to get involved. Like, there's like a real naivety to her, whereas this woman's like, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm not getting involved in any of this bullshit. I'm too clever for any of this shit. Like,
right.
She chooses to be the way she is.
Yeah.
And the Killing Eve element, I kind of get. So when I was reading it, I was like, firstly, it's really readable. So even though I was like, a bit weirder than I thought, but I'm absolutely flying through this. Mm-hmm. It's because it's like, and I was trying to think of other books. I've definitely talked about loads on the podcast. And it is a bit like Killing Eve, where it's so snappy, the dialogue. Like, it's so cutthroat. And, like, between the two, one is a genius and one of them is just shy of being a genius. Their smartness is a big part of the plot. And, like, quick one-liners and so fast. And they're really blunt and honest with each other. And, like, that's so enjoyable to read. And really funny.
Do you think, then, Kirsten McDougall, is that her last name?
Yeah, that's how I pronounced it.
Do you think she's a genius then? How can you write about a TD?
Well, they don't write clever. Like, they don't write, like, clever facts. Well, that, so, like, one of the characters, because she's got the IQ that's nearly a genius, she was able to, like, rewrite this whole data process at work, and it, like, now does the job for her. Yeah.
Got you.
But okay. I would imagine that the author is, like, funny smart. If that makes sense.
Right, okay, like, yeah.
There's that kind of intellect that you can make quick, quick whips.
As an aside, it's like knowing what your IQ is, like, quite American. I'd be quite curious to know what my IQ is, and I also don't know what the benchmark is. Like, what's a good IQ, what's a bad IQ, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd be too stressed out by the test that I wouldn't do well.
Yeah, I think I've got a strong EQ.
What's an EQ? Oh, emotional. It's
like emotional intelligence rather than intellectual.
Mm. I just don't do well under pressure. So try and test me for my IQ. It's going to be dog shit.
Yeah. I also, some people are just good at taking tests. So being clever just means that you were good at taking tests at school. Yeah. I wasn't either.
Yeah, I think it's an American thing, but they're not American.
Fine. Okay.
I've sort of assumed that Kirsten might be from New Zealand, but it won an Irish award. So I was like, oh, is she actually Irish? I haven't looked into it. When this episode comes out, it will have published. Mm-hmm. And it is a reco because I really enjoyed reading it. It's just not what I thought it was going to be.
Right, okay.
Like, weird books often are. We're there for the weird old ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just got to embrace it, haven't you?
Honestly, buckle in and let them take you to the places they want to take you. You'll enjoy it so much more. Okay.
I really wondered where you were going to take that sentence.
Well, you just had to be there for the ride. Okay, your next weird book.
Okay. So this is one I absolutely loved a few years ago, and I've never mentioned it on the pod before, and it's Boy Parts by Eliza Clark. And it was, we used to have like a little book swap at work, and a girl at work gave it to me. So here's the synopsis, and I'm going to remind myself what it was about too. I really liked it. Irina is in a rut. She obsessively takes explicit photographs of average-looking men she counts from the streets of Newcastle while her dead-end bar job slips away. She's more interested in drugs, alcohol, and extreme cinema. When she's offered an exhibition at a fashionable London gallery which promises to revive her career in the art world, it should feel like an escape. But the news triggers a self-destructive tailspin, drawing in her obsessive best friend and a shy young man from her local supermarket who has attracted her attention. Boy Parts is an incendiary debut novel from Eliza Clark, a pitch black comedy, shocking and hilarious.
Mm. Yeah. I do kind of remember you being like, oh my God, this book, someone at work lent to me, is wild but so good.
Yeah, it was fucking nuts. And I guess kind of similar to Weirdo, the main character is like quite, well, she's self-destructive and quite neurotic, but Irina, unlike what's her face? I've forgotten her name already, but the main character in Weirdo, she's like quite a narcissist, which I just found, like, just that in itself, I think I could read about narcissists. I think that's quite interesting, don't you? Just to, like, see how their minds work and so on. And you can tell, like, I don't want to give any of the, like, plot away, because they're written, like, the whole plot is written for, like, shock value, I think.
Right.
So there are so many bits that just come out of nowhere that you're like, what the fuck? And, like, make you, and I think that's what, like, I think that's what she's trying to do. But, yeah, she's, I guess, like, they're exploring, like, lots of taboos, like, sexual taboos, and also having a woman as the lead character, being the one to taking the role that you would traditionally give to men of, like, you know, objectifying male bodies. So it's like sort of flipping the gender roles on its head, but also just leads to some, like, just like a batshit crazy plot, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's quite violent in some parts.
And it's not that, like, long, is it? From what I remember, like, it's not a huge chunky book.
I from memory, like 300 pages, maybe. And yeah, by the end of it, it's one of those books where you finish and you're like, what the fuck did I just read? But in a good way. Like, just one of those books that, you know, sometimes you read a plot and you're like, well, I know exactly what's going to happen in this book, you know, pretty much beginning, middle and end. And those books totally have a place in literature and a place in everyone's bookshelves because they like, they give you comfort and whatever. This is not one of those books. This is one of those books where you're like, didn't see that coming. Yeah, it's just wild. It was a real wild ride.
My next one's fucking insane.
Oh my God, it's like we're trying to outdo each other.
Right? But now I really wish that we had, like, we aren't doing a joint book here, and I would love us to have both read them to rank them.
Yeah. Okay.
Some homework we're sort for of us.
Soft entering into like cozy weird.
Yeah.
And
we've really up the ante towards the end of this episode.
Dark weird. And now what are you going to, what are you bringing to the table?
The darkest of the weirds, man.
Okay.
So my next book is by, I'm probably going to butcher this and I'm really sorry, Sayaka Murata. And she wrote Convenience Store Women, which I absolutely loved. Really short little book, 200 pages. And it's about a woman who works at a convenience store. And she actually is a bit Eleanor Oliphant-esque.
Oh my God. Like,
Freckles, do you remember, by Cecilia Ahern, the woman who works as a parking attendant, and she's just like really serious about her job and very happy that she's not striving to do any harder job than that. She just takes her very normal job seriously, and it's that kind of vibe, like doesn't really care to have more from life, like Eleanor, and like I don't remember the guy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and it just like Freckles did, it really, I was like, yeah, I should just work in a convenience store, like maybe that's a nice life. But this woman kind of takes it a bit further, and like she just like is really rejecting society and like doesn't want to move in with a man and get married or any of that kind of stuff. So really enjoyed that, and I was so excited for her next book. And then her next book was Earthlings. Wow. It was so weird. It has a lot of similar themes, but then it really takes a very weird turn. I'm going to drop the synopsis. I don't even think.
And also, I feel like you should also explain what the cover of this book looks like, because I think a lot of people will know the book you're talking about just if you reference the cover.
So on the cover is this cute little cuddly like hedgehoggy toy. Like, it's got a picture of a cute little toy, and the toy is actually part of the book.
Oh, okay.
So you think you're in for a cute little book, okay? Synopsis. Natsuki isn't like the other girls. Together with her cousin Yu, she spends her summers in the wild mountains, hoping a spaceship will take her home.
Okay.
Yeah. When a terrible sequence of events threatens to part the cousins forever, they make a promise, survive no matter what. Now Natsuki is grown. She lives quietly in an asexual marriage, pretending to be normal and hiding the horrors of her childhood from her family and friends. But dark shadows from Natsuki's past are pursuing her. Fleeing the suburbs for the mountains, Natsuki prepares herself for a reunion with Yu. Will he still remember their promise, and will he help her keep it?
Is this the book, by the way, that you recommended Kel read when we were on Words on the Water?
Yes. I actually can't remember if it was this or Life Ceremony, which I'll touch on as well. People are in for the weird vibes. But I basically said to her, oh, if you like books about incest and cannibalism, like this one would be good. And she did buy it for her honeymoon to read on the beach. She was like, yeah, I could go for that. So they are the themes across. So Life Ceremony is a book of short stories. And like there's definitely, I can't remember what it is, but there's one in there that's a bit like, don't be wasteful, eat dead people because they're going to take up space otherwise. Like that kind of, yeah, it's really bizarre. And like loads of the themes in all the short stories you can see in Convenience Store Woman and in Earthlings.
Okay.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but look, I've potentially given away two spoilers by mentioning incest and cannibalism. Let's just say that. It's really dark and sad in places because something traumatic does happen to her as a child, and you're like, well, maybe that's the way why she is the way that she is. But it's also like, because she's a child, like it's just written in this really innocent way.
Oh,
and therefore very digestible. Excuse the pun. In terms of like, you can just get through it. which is definitely the trick. If I was reading a weird book that was really wordy, I'd be like, get fucked. Nah. I actually can't finish this. But because mm-hmm. these ones are super consumer boards, you're like, great, take me on your spaceship, please. And so basically, yeah. And so the little toy that's on the cover like starts talking to her. Yeah. Honestly, anything that you think is weird is probably in this book, but it is really good.
Is it?
Yeah. I remember when I really struggle, right? When we do read a book that's on the weirder side, I'm like, oh, can we recommend this? Like, is it going to freak people out? And actually, fuck you. If I enjoy a book and I think it's worth recommending, I'm going to recommend it. So I remember I recommended it in October. It recently come out. And I was like, this is actually perfect if you want to get a bit spooky and weird. Like, this is the one for you, which must be why it published in October.
Yeah, see what they did there. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know, sometimes it's good to read something that you're not, that you wouldn't usually read.
Yeah, or just, isn't the norm.
Yeah, to just like try a different style of book and style of plot. And I mean, I've been in a bit of a reading rut recently, and I think it's because I was reading a book that I actually wasn't enjoying. So mm-hmm. it just meant that I was persevering for the sake of this, you know, what we always say, like, oh, but I'm already 200 pages in, or yeah. I'm already 100 pages in, it'd be such a waste of time. So I was persevering with it. And then eventually I was just like, no, because actually now all I'm doing is not reading. And at the moments where I would pick up a book to read, I'm choosing yeah. not to, because the book I am reading is boring. And it's not doing anything for me. So it's like put me in a bit of a reading rut. So I'm trying to like get myself out of it. And actually the book I'm reading, which we're going to talk about in another episode next week, perhaps, is, or after the break, has got me out of that rut, because it's so different to my normal, mm-hmm. to normal style of book, or the genre of book that I've been reading for like the last few months, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, helps that it's a dystopian. You want to be taken out of the real world.
Yeah.
Away from the book you were reading and into a fake world.
Yeah. So someone who like is waiting for a spaceship to come and take her home, maybe that's what you you just need, something absolutely ridiculous like that to
like,
you know,
fully escape this planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do really want to read Boy Parts. I have ever since you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Maybe I reckon it's a safe audio.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. I remember I read Boy Parts and I forget what it's called, like The Villains or something at the same time.
If We Were Villains.
If We Were Villains.
Trio. Oh no, it's got three, it's got a syllable, it's got letters.
Yeah, maybe that's why I thought it was Three Villains. That book's slightly weird. I've mentioned it on this pod before, but I reckon yeah. that would be a good audiobook.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah, if you wanted a weird audio listen.
Yeah. It's quite, when I sometimes find when I listen to audiobooks, I, especially when driving and I'm just like in my own car on my own, I'll like talk out loud with them. So I feel like if you're reading a weird one, I'd be like, what the fuck? Whereas I wouldn't do that if I was reading a book. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, that's so true, actually.
Yeah, or like if there's a character I don't like that says something annoying, I'll be like, oh, shut up. Like, just to myself.
But you wouldn't do that if you're reading it.
No.
Because it's almost like you've said it because the voice in your head is saying it.
Yeah, whereas this one, it's like, I'm hearing it and I don't like what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny. Okay.
I'll look for some weird audiobooks.
Weird, wonderful, wacky.
I'm intrigued to hear what people think of this episode, and if they are a weird book reader, if they aren't, but now they might be. If
yeah, actually.
We've offended anyone. It's all in jest.
Sorry. And if you want to go on and read one of these books, please let us know. And that goes for every episode, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
If you've, like, we really like it when somebody DMs us to be like, by the way, I've just bought this book off the back of your reco. And
love it.
Please let us know. Also, we haven't said this in a while, but just a reminder that links to purchase all of these books from an indie bookshop are in our bio. It will take you to bookshop.org, and where, you know, the price is the price, and it purchases it from an indie bookshop. So, you know, do good whilst you're buying as mm-hmm. well.
And we, as always, mention them in the show notes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked today's episode, then like, subscribe, leave a rating and review. It costs you nothing, but it genuinely means the world to us.
And don't forget to share our podcast with your reading buddy, because they might enjoy it too. And if you don't already, then follow us on Instagram at BookRecos for, funnily enough, more book recommendations.
See you next week.
After the break.